Hello and welcome to the Cash and Commitment podcast with myself, Yinka, and my lovely, beautiful wife, Veronia.
Hello.
So summer's coming to an end. Any highlights of the summer?
So, this summer's been really busy, mm-hmm. I think, for both of us. But I'd probably say the main highlight was my friend's wedding. It was the first time I think both of us had gone to an Indian wedding, and I was able to go to the different events during the week. So mm-hmm. that was fun. And I got to wear my first Indian outfit as well. I wore a lehenga, and yeah, it was great. Absolutely loved it. How about you? Your highlight?
Weddings again. Been a busy summer of weddings. Had three to go to. One in Paris. Probably the busiest wedding I've ever been to. Wedding in a castle, can't beat that. Good friend's wedding in August, a Ghanaian and Greek wedding, which was pretty cool, seeing those two cultures come together and blend. And then obviously the wedding,
kind of had to work though because you're a groomsman.
But it was still pretty good to enjoy. I mean, after the actual wedding ceremony, then most of the job was pretty much done, so yeah. But yeah, and then the Indian wedding that Veronica was talking about, that was also cool as well. First Indian wedding, very, very good vibes, very cool to see the culture. And yeah, you know, multiple day wedding or wedding ceremonies, I guess. And I know you did a lot more of the wedding ceremonies than I did, but still pretty cool to see that. And yeah, God bless all them unions.
Yeah.
All right, so this week on the pod, we are diving into the topic of debt.
D-E-B-T.
D-E-B-T, my absolutely.
Favorite, one of my favorite topics.
Yes. So we're going to look at debt in a bit more detail. Is it debt or debt?
It is not debt, babe.
All right. All right. You know my accent. Slightly gets me. But yeah, we're going to look at debt in a bit more detail today. Talk about our first kind of ideas of what debt was. Have we been in debt before? How did we get out of debt? Etc. Etc.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you, Yinka.
Of course.
Have you been in debt before? Number one.
Yes, I have been in debt before.
Okay. And number two, let's talk about your debt story. How did you actually get into debt?
University, and I'm not talking about student loan debt. Got into uni, and obviously you apply for student finance, you get back then you got a loan and a grant.
Yeah, if you were eligible for a grant.
Yeah, so you got a bit of both. I think it was more loan than grant anyway. But obviously we went to Loughborough University.
I don't think I've ever said what uni I went to, so you've now said what uni.
All right. You're a Loughborough alumni.
Yeah,
so we went to Loughborough. Obviously, that's quite far from London, so we had to pay for accommodation. And my accommodation, I think it ended up costing about maybe 2/3 or 3/4 of my student loan for the year. So that's where a lot of my money went to anyway. And then, as I've mentioned before, I was bank of the house. So something must have come up where my mum or someone needed some money. And so, yeah, I gave it to them. And then I ended up having to go into my overdraft to do that and pay my second term's rent, I think. So that was my first time getting into overdrafts.
I didn't even think I knew that, actually.
No, I didn't even know you back then. Yeah, true. But yeah, actually going back a little bit though, I remember because obviously I opened up the Santander account before going to uni, and they did mention the arranged overdraft. I think it was like 1500 back then. So that was what I had on top of my student loan. But I was in there quite quickly. Like the first one or two terms I was in there, and pretty much for the whole of uni, I stayed in that arranged overdraft. I think the only saving grace is that it was arranged, so I didn't have to pay like any fees or anything because I was in the overdraft. But yeah, my whole uni life in the red.
Yeah. And I guess because it was a student overdraft as well, you didn't have to worry about like paying interest.
Yeah, during exactly.
Uni, so
exactly that.
That was good. Okay. And is that your only debt?
Is that my only debt? I'm pretty sure it's my only debt, unless you know something that I don't know.
No, I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was my only debt. I didn't go into debt for like, my car or anything like that.
Did you ever have a credit card? Like, did you ever?
Yeah. Have
before?
I had one of those fringe kind of credit cards. I think it was called Vanquist. And that was my first one. And I was maybe 23 when I got that. Mm. And the only reason I got it is because I wanted to build up my credit score. Mm. I literally only did like everyday purchases with that, and I'd pay it off in full all the time anyway, so that wasn't an issue. Yeah, that was an issue. I think the limit was only like maybe 250 or 500 pounds a month, something small like that, because obviously that was the first credit card. But yeah, that was fine. I mean, the biggest one was the overdraft. And yeah, I think I was in that properly, if I count the years, from 18 to 22, 23, probably.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think that the reason why you specifically used your overdraft was just basically because of a lack of income then? Rather than, like, did you feel like you had no choice but to use the overdraft compared to, like, someone like me who I didn't necessarily need to use the overdraft?
Oh yeah, these weren't holidays. This was necessities, you know. Rent, food, in terms of groceries, and my groceries weren't extravagant at all. I think I budgeted around 20 to 30 a week, if that, on food and stuff. But
obviously back in the day before all of this inflation.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, it was all on necessities. That's where the money was going to. But backtracking, I got out of my overdraft when I was like 22, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what would you say your view was like of debt in general? Did you know about debt? Like, had you always been taught not to get into debt?
Yes and no. So I knew about debt, but the only real kind of experience I had with it was my overdraft and my arranged overdraft, and that in itself was a kind of a safer kind of debt because, as we said before, there's no interest. You have to pay in it for a certain time period anyway, so as long as you stay within those limits. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I guess my story was quite different in that my first debt was also at university. The overdraft, which I think I mentioned a little bit in the first episode, I basically was going on a holiday, realized I didn't actually have money in my account, so I thought, oh, I'll quickly dip into my overdraft and I'll pay it back. And essentially never paid it back.
Was this holidays that we went on?
No, this is in first year. Like, okay, this is like first year holidays already. And then
because I think if you were doing that, then I probably would have said something.
You would have said something. By the time that we traveled, I had already been in my overdraft.
Okay.
Pretty much. And it was so weird because by the time it got to third year, obviously I was working part time. I was working at the university, so I could have tried to pay off my overdraft, but I didn't. I decided that I was going to wait until I start working, and that still didn't happen, to be honest. Because I remember actually when I was going to do my master's, they were basically saying that like your student overdraft was ending soon, because obviously they didn't know that I was going to be a student again. So I went back to the bank to say, I'm a postgraduate student, can you move me to a postgraduate account? So they moved me. So that extended the amount of time that I had to pay off the overdraft. So essentially I was just kicking the can down the road because I just didn't know how to pay off my overdraft. So that was the first debt. And then my second debt, so I've had more than one, and that was a car loan, which I'm sure if people are subscribed to my YouTube channel, they will already know about. But I had that car when I had my first graduate job. So I must have been 23 years old at that point in 2018.
Yeah. Is it 2018?
Yeah, it was 2018. So 23? I think I was 23.
Yeah.
So,
no, I was thinking that because of my master's as well. But yeah. You were 23 for sure.
Yeah, so I was about 23. And I had a car that I'd actually bought in cash. It was a very old car, very much a banger. And I was working at my new graduate job, and I was seeing all these people like driving nicer cars, and I was basically like, I'm a working girl now, why am I driving this kind of car?
You need a big boy car.
Yeah, that's what I basically thought. And I remember, because we were together and I was looking at cars, but obviously I didn't have enough money to just buy a car in cash, so I knew that I was going to have to finance my car. So I took a loan with the bank that would basically help me finance the car. The term I think was like 4 years or something, 4 or 5 years, but essentially I put like a small deposit down. I think I put down like maybe 700 or something, and then the rest of it I financed, which was like, the car itself was about 11 grand, but by the time you added interest on it, it came to about 14 grand. Plus my 2 grand overdraft, it meant that I basically had now like 16 grand worth of debt.
Right.
So
how old are you?
That's 23.
Right.
So yeah, 16K right there. And I didn't actually realize that my interest was, I think, like 9.8% or something. So it's not even like it was a low interest, like 3 or 4, where, okay, like it would have been, you know, not that expensive, but yeah, close to 10% was my interest rate. So
I'm definitely as well, you know, because we were together then.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of guys I wouldn't consider that. And I'm thinking back to when we were in that situation, and it didn't even cross my mind that this was actually an issue.
But, hey, it's true, because you didn't actually say anything about it. You kind of just,
I mean, all I knew is you're paying off your monthly things. As long as you're not missing your payments. Then
yeah. And obviously I thought I could afford it, because I was like, well, I'm a working girl now. I was, at the time I was making like 27k. That was like the most I'd ever made, especially coming from like uni. And even when I was working a bit after uni, I wasn't making as much as that. So for me, I was like, yeah, I can afford it. And yeah, that was that. That's how I got into my debt. The one thing though that I'm quite proud of myself for is that I never got into credit card debt, but that was just because like my mom actually basically said don't ever get a credit card, which now that I think about it, like at this point, because we use our credit card all the time, but obviously we pay it off, but actually I think it was the best thing she said to me, only because I was not educated about money at the time.
Yeah.
Like had I got a credit card at the point where either I was at uni or just after uni, I would have been in trouble. I would have been in trouble. I would have been in credit card debt for sure.
Mm.
So I think the fact that I was like, no, I'm not going to touch credit cards, actually helped me. And then when I eventually got a credit card was when obviously I knew how to manage my money.
Yeah, for sure. That makes total sense.
Yeah. So I think what's good now is like us talking about how we paid off our debt, because obviously we would have.
Just before that though, I think my question to you in terms of that debt, because your debt was significant, whereas mine was probably like 8 times less than what your debt was.
Yours was 2 grand, right?
Yeah, it's like 2 grand max. And I think I was even a little bit less than that in terms of what I was owing. But were you concerned with your debt in terms of our relationship and it progressing forward? Or because I think by then we probably were looking or thinking we would get married eventually.
Yeah.
Did your debt raise any alarm bells for you in terms of my perspective?
When I first had it, no. I literally I was like, yeah, I've got my car. I can afford the payment. I was chilling. I was like, yeah, like I'll work on paying off the overdraft. And it was so funny as well, because when I've got my graduate job, I was still working my part-time job at uni, which we essentially ended up having the same
job. Yeah.
I was still working that. So I still had hours. So I was getting 2 paychecks at the time, and I was still living paycheck to paycheck. Like it was just a mess. And Yeah. So when I, the time where it, I really started thinking about it was when I started looking at, okay, how do people, you know, get wealthy? You know, how do people manage their money? When I started researching that, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to do my first net worth statement, which is basically you listing your assets. So things that you actually own. So like cash, investment, savings, all of those things. Versus looking at my liabilities, which are things that I owe. So if I owe money to creditors, if I've got like credit cards, personal loans, car loans, overdrafts, and all of that stuff. It was when I did that, that's where it really hit me, where I was like, I literally have no assets to my name. I have no savings whatsoever, nothing. And I have 16 grand of liabilities. Like, that's when I was like, oh no, Vronya, things need to change. And then I also started, because I was also looking at people who were married, who were doing well financially, shout out to Ken and Mary from The Humble Penny. I started looking at their videos and I saw them thriving together. And I was like, yeah, I need to make changes, especially if I'm going to get married.
Yeah.
So yeah, I then made it a mission, like before we'd even get married. And I didn't even know when you were going to propose or anything like that. But I made it a mission that before we get married, I would try to at least be in the process of paying off that debt.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think at that time we even discussed our finances, even whether it was good or bad, or whether we were saving or spending or whatever. We didn't discuss it at all.
No.
All I knew is that every time we come to, I came to your place, there's a new shopping, online delivery shopping bag in the corner.
Yeah.
But no, I think with time, with age as well, you just kind of mature a bit more and these things come into play. But again, there needs to be some intention there.
Yeah. But then that also then now brings us to the topic of how we actually paid it off. So I'm curious to know how you paid yours off, because I think what you did was probably quite different to how I paid mine off.
Cool. Obviously finished uni. I was gonna say the year, but then that will show my age. But yeah, finished uni, went back home, didn't really have any job prospects when I did go back home, so I rejoined my old rugby club and found out that they were looking for community coaches, basically. So I got into that, started doing that part-time, getting small money here and there, nothing too serious. And then the work kind of increased a bit more. So I'd say before I was working really minimal time, and so maybe like 12 hours a week. And then that increased to probably 20 to 25 hours a week. I think the pay was like £20 an hour. So it was decent, but at that time, it was decent at that time, but it wasn't as frequent as I'd want it to, because a lot of the times it will be during term time. There's no sick pay if you're sick. Mm. There's nothing like that. It's literally you pay, you work, you get paid. But I did, I think that was about 22.
And as in when you were 22?
When I was 22. And then I knew I needed to get more money, basically. So I ended up getting a job in Sainsbury's, that crazy shift of 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. Still part-time for 30 hours a week, 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. Monday to Friday, getting up at like 4:30 every weekday. It was mad. But I need to earn some peas. Mm. So at the time, I think I was earning about close to £1,000 a month. So in about 2-3 months, I was out of my overdraft anyway. I didn't have a lot of expenses. I was living at home. Then I didn't really have to pay for much. I just helped out with probably like the electricity and gas and bought groceries here and there. So there wasn't too many outgoings. So that job is the main thing that got me out of that overdraft.
Did you stay out of the overdraft then, since once you...
I want to say no, because me and the boys, we went out to Portugal that year. No, we went to Amsterdam that year for one of your friend's birthdays.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then I think the next 2 weeks I was in Portugal with some of my boys. So that took a hefty chunk of my money. I think I might have just re-entered that overdraft. Yeah, but then I jumped out of it quite quickly because I was starting my master's in the summer. No, at the end of 2018. So I was coaching again part-time anyway. And then I had another supermarket job to try and save some money because I probably would have to pay for my master's because it was a bit of a weird one. Basically, the master's I did was a 3-year undergrad compressed into the 2 years in physiotherapy. So because of that, it was thought that the first year would be paid by student finance, but the second year I'd probably have to pay for myself. So I was trying to save quite a lot of money to make that happen. So I think I ended up saving probably 5 out of the 9K by the time the term year started.
Okay, so you'd paid off the overdraft.
Yeah, paid up the overdraft. I was 5K in the positive. But then good old Bank of Yinka came into play again. So I think my mum needed a few grand. And then my dad needed a grand for one reason or the other. And I remember saying to them as well, I'm starting uni in September. I need the fees back by this specific date. Dates come and gone. Dates come and gone. So I won't dive too much into that topic. We might dive into borrowing money on another episode. But yeah, I was out of overdraft by then. Obviously, doing my master's, I ended up getting a part-time job thanks to my lovely wife who hooked me up. And that part-time job pretty much kept me
out of it
completely throughout that time. And it was, I can't remember the hours. I think it might have been like 12 hours a week, something like that. It wasn't long, but the pay was pretty good as well. Yeah. So as a student, if you have a job as a student, you're normally going to be doing decent financially anyway. So if you know how to look after your money.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. So it didn't actually, it didn't specifically take you very long to.
No. I think all I needed for me to pay off my overdraft was a decent job. That job that I got coaching part time when I finished my undergrad was probably my first proper job.
Yeah.
And if I had even a part time job before uni or during uni, then I probably wouldn't have been in the overdraft, maybe at all, or maybe not so much. So.
Yeah, especially based on the fact that you really only use the overdraft for necessities rather than, anything and everything.
Yeah, like, I really wasn't gallivanting. There was no holidays. There were no shopping sprees, anything like that. It was literally, rent and groceries.
Yeah, whereas mine is very different. So in terms of me paying off my debt, I obviously had the overdraft, but I also had the car loan, and I was trying to figure out, okay, which one do I want to pay off first? I actually, before that, I decided that I was going to learn to save some money as well, because first of all, I was already struggling to save money in the first place because I would just spend all my money. But also I wanted to have some cash so that I wouldn't have to dip back into debt again.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were times where even before I did my master's, I would try to pay off my overdraft and forget that I need to pay for something, like my car insurance was due. So then I would have to dip back into my overdraft, and then I would feel bad because I was like, oh, I've now gone back into my overdraft. What's the point in me trying to pay it off? So I wanted to take that cycle out, basically. So I decided I was going to save some money first. So I first made a goal to save 500 and then 1,000. And that took me 6 months, literally. So it took you like a couple of months to get out of your overdraft. Whereas for me, just to even save a grand took me like 6 months. Like, it was just a lot. And I have videos on my YouTube channel where I talk about that in more detail.
Yeah, but I think one of the key things for that is knowing where your money is actually going.
Yeah.
So like, I knew I didn't have much outgoings, whereas with your example, even though you tried to save, there was something that cropped up. that you weren't aware of at the time of trying to save that made you dip back into your savings.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why what I had to try and basically overcome, which I then finally was able to overcome, just took me a long time to do it instead of a couple of months. It took me 6 months, but you know, we're here. And yeah, I then decided that I was actually going to focus on my car loan first, because, and the reason why, actually, technically, for my quick wins, I could have focused on the overdraft, and I was thinking about that. But the only reason why I didn't was just simply because the overdraft was still interest-free, because I was still part of my post-grad thing. You get like, I think it was like a year or 2 years.
Mine ended up being like 5 or something. It's yeah, like silly. I think because I did it because of my 2 years master's, I think that's why it got so long.
They extended it. Yeah. So I had, I think, like a couple of years to pay it off. So it was interest free. So I thought, okay, well, whilst it's interest free, let me just focus on the car, because that interest is like almost 10%, maybe even been higher. I don't remember anymore. But yeah, because it was such a high interest rate, I was like, okay, let me focus on the car. Although that was a big challenge, because I'm trying to like basically pay off 14 grand, which was quite a lot. But yeah, I made a plan, like I started budgeting, I started doing all those things that I talk about on my channel. And yeah, I decided to put more and more money into it. And eventually I was able to pay off both of those debts within 18 months. So obviously it took me a lot longer to pay off my debt, but I also had a lot more debt compared to yours. But yeah, it still happened, and I was quite proud of myself.
No, it's a good achievement.
Yeah.
You didn't bring the debt into our marriage, so I'm thankful for that. So.
No, and actually, by the time you proposed, I think, because you proposed in like February.
Yeah, February
2020.
I was going to say 21 as well. Yeah. But,
no, we got...
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah, it was February 2020, obviously before lockdown happened. And I ended up paying off my last debt, I think, May of 2020. So I was pretty much almost done by the time you proposed. So I knew by the time we get married that I would be debt-free.
Yeah. Did lockdown help as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, to be fair, I was already on track to pay it off. But I think just the fact that I wasn't spending money on petrol, for example, to drive to work and to drive back to London, that helped. And then because actually of lockdown, I decided that I was going to move back home, because I was living somewhere else. I was actually a lodger in someone else's house. That can be another story. But I decided to move out, and do you remember us like going up to go and pick up
myself, yeah.
like in the middle of lockdown? Well, not in the middle of lockdown. It was when we were able to leave at the house again.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I moved out. So it meant that I didn't have to pay rent anymore. And yeah, I think that helped it.
Yeah. And your rent wasn't even too much, was
No, it was like 300 a month.
Yeah. But that still can be used and redirected and have a big effect on paying off your debt. So if you have money that's going out to places where you don't really need it going out, or you can rearrange your budget somehow, then it goes a long way in paying off those debts.
Yeah. So when it came to me paying off the car, because I no longer had that 200 odd minimum payment, I could then add that towards paying off the overdraft. And so I was able to pay off the overdraft in like a couple of months, which was good.
Cool.
So yeah, those are our debt stories. Any key takeaway lessons quickly?
I think the main one that stood out to me was just being intentional. So you can have pretty much all the money in the world, but if you're not intentional with how you're going to spend that money, then paying off simple debts can be very tough to do. So yeah, make a budget, make sure you know what your incomings and outgoings are, where your money's going to. And as long as you know that, you're probably able to rearrange some things to make sure the appropriate amount or even excess is going towards your debt, so that you can pay it off quicker and actually be debt free. So intentionality is my takeaway from today.
Cool. And I would say mine is, and I've said this before, but the best thing I did was learn how to save first. I think because I was able to save money first, I was able to do the same thing when it came to my debts, but also it meant that I was able to save for other things so that I wouldn't have to go back into debt. Like I was able to save for my car insurance separately and just different things that I knew would come up. So it stopped me from then having to keep dipping back into my debt all the time, which I know a lot of people struggle with. So definitely I would recommend learning how to save first, which is obviously something that I teach and preach, even though I'm a spender. So yeah, cool. Anything else?
No, I think that's everything today.
Cool. So you can, of course, follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please feel free to leave a review as well and tell us how you found this episode. And you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is Veronia Spain. I feel like maybe one day we should add your name onto that.
And that's not my surname, so.
Yeah. So yeah, we should do that. And yeah, if you also need any other further support when it comes to managing your money, saving money, paying off debt, we also offer one-on-one coaching. And actually what we're going to be adding is couples coaching. So if you are in a couple and you would like to be coached by not only myself, but also Yinka as well, that is an option that you can do. So make sure you check out the links in the description to book a call and find out more. But yeah, I think we're going to leave it there.
Yep.
We hope you have an amazing week and we will hopefully see you on the next episode of the Cash and Commitment podcast.
Yeah.
Bye.
Peace and love. Thank you.